prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers tonight. I've turned to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read the first three verses, and not sure how far we'll get with this, but Hebrews 12, verse 1. Now, of course, you remember the setting for Hebrews chapter 12. It's right after, obviously, right after 11, but chapter 11 is that hall of faith. Those faithful witnesses that are mentioned in chapter 11, and the thought continues on in chapter 12, reaching back and considering all those that had been mentioned coming into this chapter. So chapter 12 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also." So that tells us that he's going to make a comparison between what we have and what they were for us, or for the others. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He speaks as those mentioned in chapter 11 were a great cloud of witnesses. And he says, we also have one of those. Haven't you known some great people in your life? Now, maybe they didn't make the headlines. Maybe they didn't have great fame and fortune in this world. But you know, in my latter years, I've changed my definition of a hero. I've had a lot of good heroes in my life. Heroes of the faith. I appreciate every one of those names that are mentioned in chapter 11. But we also have a great cloud of witnesses. Those that we have known, who have been faithful to God, who have been a blessing in our lives, who we can think back. The longer I live, the bigger that list gets. So many that we have known and loved in the past have gone home to be with the Lord. But they've been such a good influence. You don't want to talk about salt and light. That's them. Amen. And I want to be like that. I got a long way to go, but I want to be like that. Because the generation coming on needs to have a great cloud of witnesses that they observe on a regular basis, right? All right. So seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. He's going to talk about running a race. Okay? You know, the Roman gladiators were powerful soldiers, right? But you wouldn't see them running the race in all of their regalia. You wouldn't see that. The runner's going to make himself capable, you know, he's going to free himself of those encumbrances so that he can run at his best ability. All right? So that's the picture that's being painted for us as we read these verses of a runner that's got a race before him. And he's talking about the mindset. You know, isn't mindset so important? Preparation, isn't that so important? Execution, isn't that so important? Conditioning, isn't that so important? I mean, that's what you have when you're talking about someone that had been training for the games and now competing in a race, running in a race. All right? So that's the picture the Spirit led Paul to give us here. So he says, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. We'll deal with those later. And let us run with patience. He didn't say all out. That would be a sprint, wouldn't it? Let us run with patience, pacing ourselves, mindful of what's needed. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let me go ahead and read the other two verses. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What happens when a runner gets weary and faint? You've seen some that have run marathons. You've seen some that have run those longer distances in competition, and sometimes they just fall out before they get to the finish line. They didn't finish. They didn't finish well. Okay? All that's involved here, isn't it? We have a race that is set before us. So as we think about, I'm going to say that that's the Christian life. That's our life. You know, it's not a race that you run to age 65 and quit. It's not a race that you run to 75 and quit, or 95, or 105. Not too many live that long, but I've known somebody in recent years that made it that far. But there's no place to quit in this race. And so we're told it's set before us. It's a race that we're to run with patience. It's one that we need to be mindful of keeping ourselves clear of encumbrances, those things that would get in the way. Guard our mind and our heart. You know, watch out for that sin that does so easily beset us. And run that race with patience. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be trials. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be all kinds of obstacles as we run this race, but we're to stay in the race. You know, I'm sure you've heard it said many times, sometimes we get tired in the way, but we don't get tired of the way. We want to stay in this race. I tell you, it's so sad. It's so heartbreaking to see someone that you know has had years in the past where they've manifested a love for the Lord, and for some reason they got distracted, some reason they turned aside. They're not running that race like they used to. How sad, how heartbreaking that is. Because what is the object here? Isn't the object to look unto Jesus and to be mindful of his mercy and his goodness and his grace and his ability to provide for us and his watch care and his safekeeping and his love and his all the things that he provides for us every day? It's there for us. If we're not looking to him for it, if we're trying to depend upon ourselves, if we're looking for it from the world, we're missing the mark. We're not going to run this race with patience. And so that's the picture. This, as this chapter begins, that's the picture that's put in our mind. Now, let me draw back from those particulars of the verse for just a moment and just focus on the race. What is it? How do we make that connection between the idea of somebody running a race and what is good for us in our Christian walk? Well, let's start it this way. When you wake up in the morning, what do you want to do? Where's your mind? Where's your heart go? You know, or not just in the morning, but when you have a break in the day, or maybe, you know, you're in between tasks and you got a little time to think about things. What do you think about? Where's your heart? Do you remember Revelation chapter 2, when the messages to the seven churches began? Remember the first church that was addressed? Ephesus. Ephesus church. Let's see. Had we heard of that church before? Oh, yeah. It was a very strong church. It was a very blessed church. It had powerful preaching, powerful preachers, and a wonderful, wonderful epistle was written to that church. I mean, I tell you, I just love reading Ephesians, and I purposely use the word love because it's just all through that book, isn't it? I mean, you just think about God's love for us and the love we're to have for Him and the love we're to have for one another, and because of what all that He's done for us is the why as to why we should be willing to follow Him and obey His word and do those things pleasing in His sight because of the love that He has for us and our showing our love to Him. Love, love, love. In all aspects, we have the love of God being manifested to us. But when you get to Revelation, what is it said about the church at Ephesus? They left it. They left it. Wait a minute. How can you do that? Well, I mean, this church still had a lot of good works. So they loved God. They had a lot of good works about them. They tried those, you know, they were proving things, but the Lord said He had somewhat against them. Now, let's see. Hosea, was it Hosea or Amos? I know Micah. Micah's one of them. I think it was Hosea was the other one. Both of them at one time said the Lord had a controversy with His people. I believe Micah said a controversy with His people. The other one said a controversy with Judah. But in Revelation 2 for Ephesus, He said, I have somewhat. In other words, there were some good things, but there was something there that was kind of like a disconnect. All the other good things that the Lord commended the church for, and yet He had a problem with something. They had left their first love. Wow. And evidently, this is not a small thing. Lord said, remember whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else. You ever had your parents say, or else? That's kind of like one of those high times. It's high, it's just before too late. Or else, I will come and take thy candlestick. Wow. That's important. So what I'm getting at here, this race, see, I don't know if, I suspect, you know, my persuasion in studying the scriptures and considering things, when the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love, I wonder if maybe that's where things start going awry. When our focus is taken off of loving the Lord and desiring and to have affection for His word and for His smiling approval, and maybe thinking too much about the good works, and not that they're bad, I'm just saying the Lord made that distinction there, that the problem He had with that church was they'd left their first love. And the remedy was repent and do the first works. In other words, get back to where you were. Get back there. Do what you were doing in that season of love when you saw His beauty and He's high and lifted up and glorious to you, and you desired to please Him. So anyway, so this race, when we think about our day, think about our heart. That's one of the things that I would that we could tuck in the back of our, or the in our mind, and use as a gauge on a regular basis, and examine ourselves with regard to this first love. First love. In preparation for this race every day, I said it's not a sprint, but you know, it's like a marathon. But every day we make choices. And throughout that day, we decide what we're going to do. And so it's not just one long marathon, it's every day of our life. Remembering God's goodness and mercy. What a wonderful day to start out the day. Wonderful way to start out the day, remembering the goodness and mercy of our God. Thanking Him, reminding ourselves of a portion of His word. You know, preparing ourselves. I like the analogy of, like, you know, an instrument that will be used in whether it's a band rehearsal, a band performance, whatever. You know, what good is it to tune the instrument afterwards? No, you tune it before. And that's the way I think of prayer and meditation in the morning, is we're tuning up our heart for the day, preparing ourselves for whatever it is that we're going to face. The Lord knows what we're going to face. We don't. But when we call upon Him and say, Lord, I'm going to need Your help today. Bless your hearts. It just puts us in the right frame of mind to begin to run the race for that day. And so the next day we have to do it again. The manna fell each day. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Each day we remind ourselves we're running this race. We need to prepare our heart. We need to prepare our mind to run that race with patience each day. Okay? Now, so that one thing, you know, when I talked about the church at Ephesus, they'd left their first love. Even though they were doing a lot of good things, even though they were very active and doing a lot of good works, the Lord pointed out He had somewhat against them because they'd left their first love. So, we need to remember that. The Lord doesn't share His glory with anyone. We're not giving Him glory. If we're glorying in something else, that's not good. And so that one thing of them leaving their first love was affecting everything they were doing as far as how the Lord looked upon it. Because the Lord doesn't look upon the outward appearance, right? He looks upon the heart. We're told that in the Old Testament, And guess what? It's just the same today. He looks upon the heart. So, like Paul said to the Galatian brethren, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, remembering His goodness and mercy. So, what we treasure, where our heart is, where your treasure is, Lord said, there will your heart be also. Okay, where's our heart? If we're not treasuring the Lord Jesus, then our heart's somewhere else. So, preparation for running this race. Examine our hearts. Now, what is it that's going to define you? I want each one of you to take this personally. What is it that's going to define you as you run this race? You know, what I mean by that is, just think about somebody that in the past you've known, one of those witnesses, one of that cloud of witnesses that, you know, he said, wherefore we also are compassed about, as if that runner was in the Colosseum or somewhere, and there's a great crowd of people around them. But he says it's a cloud of witnesses. He's not saying they're just spectators. He said, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So that in chapter 11, those who had run their race well, those who had walked by faith, those who had lived by faith, those who had trusted the Lord, those who showed their love for God by being faithful to His word, that kind of witness. Wherefore, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Think about somebody who's been in your life, whether they're still here, whether they've gone home to be with the Lord. Think about that person that was a good influence upon your life. And I know this congregation can think of many. Think of some of those witnesses. Like I said, they weren't just spectators in life. No, they ran their race with patience. They ran faithfully. They loved God. They gave us a good example of how to run this race. So what I'm driving at here is you can think of that person, and they had some habits. Not something they did now and then, but what was the pattern of their life, their daily habits? What was the affection of their heart? Where was it? Think about that good witness that they were for us and compare our life. When somebody looks at our life, maybe they can go back over so many years. And what kind of habits do they see? What kind of choices do they see? Not one that's one in a great while, but the daily choices of being faithful to God, of running this race with patience. You know, those kind of things that were a good influence to us. Somebody were to look at our life, what would they see? Would they see us making those kind of choices every day? I hope so. Would they see us running our race with patience? You know, time's marching on. And no matter what our age, even Kendra here tonight and James, you know, it's just going to be like a flash in the pan, and many years have passed by. We need to be running this race every day with patience. Being that salt and light, being a good example to others, enjoying the blessings of God, looking to Him, knowing, bless your hearts, He's watching over us. He's providing for us. He'll help us every step of the way to run that race with patience. So it's, let's think again about that life. When somebody looks, are they seeing a life where you're running it with patience? Or is it frustration and agitation and all those kinds of, sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Sometimes it happens more than we want to think. Sometimes, you know, those frustrations and agitations just keep coming. But even in that, we can still be running our race with patience. The Lord told us in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But what else did he say? But be of good cheer. Your tribulations are going to come, but it's how you face them, how you go through them. If you go through them with a thankful heart, if you go through them trusting God, if you go through them looking to Him, knowing that He knows our needs and He can supply anything that we need, it's a whole lot better than being frustrated and agitated with what's happening. That's how we run the race with patience every day. So, maybe we're ready to start this. The preparation to run this race with patience. It said, let us lay aside every weight. Those would be the external things. And I, you know, one of the biggest weights that we have upon us today, at least I see that in a lot of lives, is busyness. It's not hard to stay. Now, it's good to be industrious. It's good to stay active and do things. But, you know, it just seems like some folks, they got so many things going on, they don't have time for the Lord. We got to guard against that. All right, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, those of you who are here tonight, but that busyness, there's so many things that can claim our attention in this daily, you know, instead of running the Christian race, sometimes we get caught up in the rat race. But those are choices, aren't they? Those are whatever priorities are being set. Lay aside every weight. That's going to take some examination. That's going to take some thought. That's going to take some dedication. That's going to take a lot to lay aside every weight. Now, when your habits are good, when your choices are good, it makes it a whole lot easier, doesn't it? Sometimes people get distracted. All right, so lay aside every weight. Now, when the writer of Hebrews was writing in that day, there was an historical application to them, you know, to come out of Judaism, come out of the law service, okay? But to us today, much like what we've just been talking about, you know, we need to lay aside anything that would weigh us down in running this race as we should to be a good example to those around us. If we're not faithful to our calling, if we're not faithful to run this race, how do you expect any of this ever watching us would be? You know, it grieves my heart when parents will let everything in the world get in the way of them coming to church on Sunday. Well, what do you think the children are going to choose when they're in a position of making those choices for themselves? External things. Lay aside every weight. Then he says, in the sin which does so easily beset us. Inward things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in that? And I spent some time on our heart. First love. Priorities. Seeking the Lord and His will daily. We need that so much, don't we? So, we have this witness. We've had good examples to teach us. We need to be, I'm not saying we're not, I'm just saying if we're going to run this race with patience, then we need to be doing it in the same way that those good witnesses that we have led or done that before us. All right? So he's using the analogy of running a race. So those that run the race, they had to maintain some training. They had to be in condition. They had to have some stamina about it. You know, I tell you, it just does my heart good when I can see somebody that I know their world has been rocked, that they are going through some tough struggles, and yet they're just steady, serving God, loving God's people, loving God, and you know they're going through a terrible time in their life, but yet they're solidly trusting God. That's running your race with patience. That's dealing with whatever is before you in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. All right? So, strength, mindset, all those things are so needful. Lay aside every weight, the sin which, the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we don't have any, well, let me put it this way. The best example we have, obviously, is our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Right? Is that John 4:34? So, his work, I mean, you know, our work that's set before us is not the same as his work. Although he gave us the example of how we should follow his steps. Only Jesus could redeem us by his blood. But he gave his life for us. And we ought to live for him. We ought to give our life. I don't mean give it up. I mean give it. Live it daily for him. For his glory, for his service, and we serve him mostly by serving one another, right? You know, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So we serve him largely by serving one another, all right? Looking, run the race set before us. This word instructs us in the ways of righteousness. This word teaches us how to run this race. So we want to be found walking in that way which is pleasing to the Lord. Run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Perhaps the church at Ephesus wasn't as keenly looking to the Lord for direction each day as they should have been. Maybe they had gotten comfortable with what they knew was the right thing to do and whatever. What I'm saying, though, is looking unto Jesus. That's how we're going to run this race. You know, the runners had a finish line. They had a goal. They had a mark that they pressed toward. Well, our goal is to be more like him. Our goal is to please him. Our goal is to run this race in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the originator. He's the completer. He's the one who saved us. We don't have to worry about that. But there's a daily salvation where we need to save ourselves from this untoward generation. We need to run this race with patience. We need to remember his goodness and mercy. We need to ask for his help and strength. We need to humble ourselves. We need to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. And Luke said, daily. So as we think about running this race, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him. And if you'll look at that, I believe you'll find that this is where he derived his strength. Now, I know he had all power both in heaven and in earth, but I'm talking about as our example, when we're looking to him and considering the joy set before us. You know, he had a joy set before him. He knew what it was like to be with the Father in glory. John 17, he told us that. He was looking forward to that glory which he had with the Father before the world was. All right? He knew what he had to do. And what he had to do was completely keep the Father's will, because he came not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. And he told us plainly what that was. He knew what he had to do. And he did it for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Bless your hearts, if we'll stop and consider every day as we prepare ourselves to run this race for that day, ourselves, not somebody else, you know, ourselves, prepare ourselves to run this race each day, if we consider the joy that is set before us. You know, after this life, I can't describe the joy that we'll have, because all of our troubles will be left behind. But there's joy in serving the Lord each day. Isn't it a good feeling to lie down at night and feel like maybe you've been a help to somebody that day? Maybe, you know, I know we come short all the time, and we make mistakes and all that, but when we're able to do things that are pleasing, and we know that it has to please the Lord because it's his will, and there's things in his word that when we're able to do those things, especially when we're able to do something for someone else, what a joy and blessing that is. And we can lie down at night and just thank the Lord that he was merciful to us and used us in some small way to be a help to somebody else that day. There's joy in that. There's joy even if in lifting up our prayers for someone else. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a good work. Something that we need to be engaged in every day. For the joy, he said, that was set before him, he endured the cross. Ah. I tell you, when you just stop and think about what our Lord endured for us. Philippians 2 says he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what he did for us. He hasn't called upon us to do that. We couldn't do it. But we could take up our cross and follow him and do what we can to love God and love one another, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Well, we can endure whatever cross we have to bear. He endured the cross, despising the shame. There was shame there. He despised it. He didn't deserve any of that. He, you know, when he was hanging on the cross, and the one beside him said, we received the just reward of our deeds. But this man's done nothing amiss. And yet he had to endure the same shame despising the shame, and is set down. It didn't say he sat down, it is set down. One example I like to use, there's, you know, sometimes when we get prepared for a meal, the table is set. Things are put in its place. Well, when he was set down, that was his rightful place at the right hand of the Majesty on High. Right hand, chapter 1 says Majesty on High, chapter 12, I guess it is, it's at the throne of God. The right hand of the Father. And he's there in his place because his place is to make intercession for us. He's set. That's his place. Until such time that he'll come again and gather up all for whom he died and take us home to be with him forever. But until then, he's there, making intercession for us. He's there as our advocate. We have the Comforter. We have all that we need, all that we need to run this race with patience. And if we are looking to him and asking him, we have every reason, because it's his will that we run this race. We have every reason to believe he will provide what we need to run this race with patience. But the key is looking unto Jesus with our eyes, with our heart, with our footsteps, everything in line with his will. Now, I know there's times when we struggle sometimes to know whether or not some decision we're trying to make is in the will of the Lord or not. But it's still in order to keep looking to him, keep trusting him, and he'll manifest it to us in his time. Let us run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. And that's a good exercise for us to do all the time. Consider him. But the point he's making here is consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him. Holy. Who is he? He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. No sin about him. And yet he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He had all power, yet he humbled himself like no other. He had no sin about him. Yet he was condemned to die as a criminal. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. Everything that he endured was because of our sin. Everything that he suffered was because of us. But he did that because of his love for the Father and for us. What love did that take? It's the greatest love, isn't it? It's a greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so the greatest in magnitude, the greatest in purity, the greatest in example, the greatest love he manifested as he did the Father's will, not veering from it in the least, continuing to do exactly what the Father sent him to do. He endured the cross. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And he says why we should consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Doesn't that strengthen you to remember what the Lord has done for us? Doesn't it strengthen you to remember the love that he has for us? That such a magnitude will never fathom the depths of his love this side of glory. I don't even know if we'll fathom the depths of it on the other side. But bless your hearts to think that he loved us that much. The sinners that we are, he loved us that much that he suffered so in our room instead. So consider that, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. What happens when you're wearied and you faint? You can't run the race. You can't. And so the admonition is, just like throughout the Bible, be strong. Well, we don't have much strength, do we? We get discouraged. We get distracted. We come short in so many ways. That's why we need to keep looking to the Lord. That's why we need to keep asking of him for the help and strength and grace and mercy and all that we need from him. Lest ye be wearied and faint in our minds. If we get our attention on ourselves, we start wanting to faint. Because we know where we are. We know how weak we are. That's why our attention needs to be upon the Lord. So let us run this race that is set before us with patience. So as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we are exercised in these things, as we learn and we gain, you know, we're equipped, we're more mature. That word perfect in Scripture speaks about being mature, complete. Then we're better able to run this race, aren't we? We continue to look to him for what we need. We're providing a better example to those that might be watching us, those that will be coming after us. You know, as we're going through life, we need to realize there's going to come a time when we need to take the baton and run with it ourselves. And there's going to come a time when we're going to have to hand it off to someone else. So during that time that we've been running this race, have we been looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of it? Have we been receiving the joy of knowing what's ahead and using that strength so that we're not wearying in our mind and faint? I tell you, running this race, there's other ways that the Scripture teaches the same lesson, but here's one of running this race with patience, looking unto Jesus. May God help us to really pay attention to that. May God help us to take this lesson and apply it to each one of our lives. May it bring forth fruit for his glory. And may it someday be a good example for others to follow. May God bless you, is our prayer.